ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, Text 26. Kachit Pashavyam Nirujam Bhuriyam Butrina Virudam Brihadvanam Tad Aduna Yatra Setvam Suridvrataha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. My dear friend Nanda Maharaj, in the place where you are living with your friends, is the forest favorable for the animals, the cows? I hope there is no disease or inconvenience. The place must be full of water, grass and other plants. Purport. For human happiness, one must care for the animals, especially the cows. Vasudev therefore inquired whether there was a good arrangement for the animals where Nanda Maharaj lived. For the proper pursuit of human happiness, there must be arrangements for the protection of cows. This means that there must be forests and adequate pasturing grounds full of grass and water. If the animals are happy, there will be an ample supply of milk, from which human beings will benefit by deriving many milk products with which to live happily. As enjoined in Bhagavad Gita 18.44, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishyakarma Sabhavajam. Without giving proper facilities to the animals, how can human society be happy? That people are raising cattle to send to the slaughterhouse is a great sin. By this demonic enterprise, people are ruining their chance for a truly human life. Because they are not giving any importance to the instructions of Krishna, the advancement of their so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. Kachit Pashavyam Nirujam Bhuri Ambutrina Virudam Brihadvanam Tad Adhuna Yatra Setvam Suridvrataha. A very simple family dialogue. Two friends, he is addressing him as a friend. At the same time, we know that Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev are related. They are step brothers. One is a Kshatriya and one Nanda Maharaj, as is pasturing grounds, cowherd community, an enterprise of protecting cows, deriving byproducts from the cow, that is milk and other things, and dutifully giving taxes to the king. So that's how society is arranged. Queen Kunti, in her prayers, talks in terms of Maya Javanika Channam. Javanika is a curtain covering. She is saying, Krishna, you are covered by Maya. See if it clicks with you. There is a cloud cover between you and the sun. So are you covered by the cloud or the sun is covered by the clouds? We can say both are applicable. But there's a big but. The cloud is not so big that it can cover the sun. So it can only cover us. For example, when people say, why can't I see God? So the question is not whether God has the ability to make himself visible or not. Whether you have the ability to see God within your particular situation or not. Using this simple query, a question asked by Vasudev, he is a city dweller, he lives in an area which has tall mansions, streets, crowded places. While Nanda Maharaj has come from a village, and Srila Prabhupada uses this opportunity to focus on this one important point. For human happiness, one must care for the animals. I had a small clipping, soft copy, not a hard copy on paper, of a monument erected in London for the contribution made by animals in the First World War. The First World War was called the Great War, but because the second one was bigger in terms of destruction, so they started calling it the First, and the second was called the Second. At that time, not many planes, not many tanks were used. Most of the things were carried by horses, donkeys. Messages were carried by pigeons. What else? What other animals? Mainly horses and mules. And due to heavy mortar shelling, mortar is a kind of an explosive, thousands and thousands of horses and donkeys and mules died on both sides. England, France on one side and Germany and her allies on the other side. So somebody in the army thought that at least we should acknowledge the contribution made by the animals. And as they, actually it's a, like a, in a street corner, there is a small wall on which they have engraved this particular statement that we thank all the animals for, you know, their contribution, whatever. And they actually put statues of various animals. So the story goes, as they decided that we should have this kind of memorial, and they started asking people, what do you think was the contribution? Later they realized, like goats, sheep, hens, all kinds of animals were used. And the most surprising was, during night attacks, soldiers were given a pouch containing fireflies. There is no torches, no bulbs, no battery cells. So you don't need to feed them, you just have to carry a big pouch containing say 300, 400 fireflies. And then you bring the gout and it lights up. You can read maps. You can do so many things. So you're having a discussion as to how, you know, when man is in that particular mood of just killing, he just goes on killing, and afterwards suddenly you feel, oh, you know, we should have at least have some gratitude for all these animals who died. Interestingly, when Srila Prabhupada, in the very beginning, this must be 66, 65, 66, when he landed in New York, and one person who was a landowner, Prabhupada made him a trustee, and he asked that, what's your problem with eating meat? So Prabhupada said, it's wrong, it's a sin. So he was pressing, why? So Prabhupada said, because you continue to eat meat, First of all, the sin part was not very easy for a modern American to understand. Oh, what sin? You know, everybody's doing it. So Prabhupada said, as long as you keep on killing animals, there will be wars. So first, for him, a major point of contention was whether it is sin to eat animals or not. And then Prabhupada said, as long as you keep on eating animals, he asked, what's the reason? He said, you open a mechanical slaughterhouse for animals, and material nature will open another slaughterhouse for you, where your young generation, where your youth will be slaughtered just like you slaughter helpless animals. I think Satsuru Maharaj writes in that particular paragraph that hit with a double barrel gun, sort of, he stopped asking any more questions. He didn't pursue the matter further. But it remains interesting that, is there a direct connection? So what about the wars fought previously? What about Puranic wars? What about the huge scale armed warfare which we sometimes read in history books? Of course, I mean Vedic history. So there is a difference. Man and animals are linked. Previously, a person's wealth would be measured in terms of how many animals he has, and especially cows. Prabhupada quotes this Vedic mantra, Dhanyena dhanavan gavayo dhanavan. You have grains stocked up, you are rich. You have cows, that means you are rich. Somehow, in the Kali Yuga period which we find ourselves now, we find it difficult to believe that how come suddenly somebody has cows and he is rich. In fact, somebody can prove statistically that if you have cows, it's a big liability. Some Danish team from Denmark, they came and they said, India has, which country has the world's largest number of cattle? It's India. Our particular breed, it also has a Latin name. I think it's called the Indian Zebu, Z-E-B-U, Indian Zebu cow, Bos Indicus, that's a Latin name. He said, why don't you kill them? Why don't you eat them? If you eat them, you could solve your hunger problem immediately. So somebody has grains, like I think the Food Corporation of India has maybe 3,000-4,000 godowns filled with grain and it's rotting. It's not put to proper use. How do we convince ourselves? How do we convince others? So I'll just take this one point for our small discussion today. A few years ago, there came a disease called bovine encephalography or something like that. JKB disease. It was called, in simple terms, the mad cow disease. Cows started becoming mad and dying. So of course, in the West, if cows become mad, it's not a big calamity. But the problem is, when you eat their meat, then you become mad or you die. And that was a big problem. So John Major, that time the Prime Minister of UK, he made a speech in the Parliament saying, this is one of the biggest crises that we are ever facing as a nation. And they were, like, people were perturbed as to what is that crisis. Something like 400,000 cows were to be killed because they were having this kind of disease and it was a health hazard. So did he say that just because we have to kill the cows, that's a sin and that's a problem? No, he was least bothered with that. You are saying, look at the economic opportunity being lost. So much of meat could have been exported, so much of meat could have been processed, so much of foreign exchange could have been earned, or so much of employment could be generated. So the link between animals and human economics is still there. We can't do away with that. But the only thing is, man today, Prabhupada writes in the last sentence here, this so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. Strong words. So why we can't see things as they are? Let us return to Queen Kunti's understanding. Today morning we were listening to one lecture and Prabhupada says, 3 points. Number one, he says everyone in this Kali Yuga is a fool and rascal. Or practically everybody who comes in this material world is a fool. So from his point of view, he is a fool. Then Maya has covered him. And then Krishna says, Naam Prakash Sarvasya, I am not easily available. What can you do? If somebody becomes blind, then he is blindfolded. And then on an Amavasya night, he is put on the highway. He says, go run. A recipe for disaster. What is going to happen to him? It's triple blindness. So that's the main issue. Prabhupada talks of men in a lunatic asylum. A more stronger understanding of this is when seeing the economic situation, somebody wrote, the lunatics are running the asylum. Imagine the scenario. It's not like somebody is a lunatic in society and we have to fear this madman. You go to an asylum is like a mental hospital, mental care institution, and you find that rather than sane people running the show, here the lunatics are running the asylum. Just yesterday this point came in our discussion. The previous president of America, he was accused by someone with evidence, you have landed us in a big mess. Do you realize that? He said, by the time people realize, I'll be out. Now you can't call this responsible leadership, can you? Like by the time people know how much mess I have caused, I'll be out. And once I'm out, I get that kind of political protection. Indemnity. You can't criticize them. Within some limits, you can write something about them if it is wrong, but you can't drag them to court. So politicians today, they don't want anything to do with the previous politicians, Kshatriyas or whatever, but they want their benefits. Like a king can do no wrong. Previously, kings should behave like that. Now, we don't have this kind of thing, but leaders do claim that kind of protection. Another angle in this particular situation is, Prabhupada always talks in terms of, have your animals, protect them and you'll be happy. You can live happily. How? For my sake, I never heard of cow protection before even coming to Prabhupada's movement. Like if you see a cow, you might just touch her. Why? Because punya milta hai. You might get some punya. Like in India, if you ask people, gai hamari mata hai. Aage kuch nahi aata hai. Sad state. Even whenever I go for a walk, there is a particular temple and there is a cow tied there and pious people, they come and they feed her. So that sentiment is still there within the heart of any Indian, or to be more precise today, in any Hindu's heart. You see pictures where the cow has all the demigods in her, and cow is treated like some kind of a hub, you know, one point portal. You just touch her, feed her, and 33 million demigods are touched, they are contacted. At the same time, the sad state of our Indian legislature is that they are finding it difficult to say, just protect cows because Krishna says so. Oh, no one's going to accept the fact that you protect cows because Krishna says so? Then the question is, who is Krishna? And why should we take his statements so seriously? So at least after spending some time in the association of Prabhupada's followers, and then you see how Prabhupada wanted something, and then once the common sense of that particular statement starts sinking in, which 3 decades after Prabhupada's departure, we have now devotees who are seriously taking cow protection, we are seriously, like our Bhaktivanta Manor is having a £6 million or something cow protection program. So when one reporter asked a temple manager, why so much fuss? Why so much money spent on cows? So he said, just because the Western society is arranging cow slaughter on such a mass scale, this is how we are retorting. This is how we are hitting back. So this reporter called this facility, the name of a favorite famous 5-star hotel chain, Hilton. He said, this is a Hilton among Goshalas. Everything is so clean and so opulent. So go upayog, go means cow, using cow's products is the first stage. Go seva, where you feel a bit of gratitude, which is accompanied by go raksha. Now you start protecting. And the last stage, what Krishna wants, is go puja. You worship them. Is it impossible? Certainly not. What's the example that how something which is totally impractical or difficult but can be managed? Just see if this example clicks. I think at least Anandananda Prabhu will understand the mechanism behind it. Many, many years ago, I had read, somebody called me from US, and I asked him, how much does it cost you? No, somebody called from Denmark. There's a devotee here who used to go there and sometimes used to talk. He said, I have a card, credit card size card. It has a number. Many years ago, all these facilities were never available in India at that time. I just dial that number, punch that number, and the meter starts. And we spoke for an hour. He said, it cost me something like $10. I said, how come it's so cheap? He said, well, that's the way things are here. And I chanced to read one report, some account made by some analysis firm, that please understand, this must be 1999 or 2000, that within 10 years, Asia and Africa will also have very cheap telecom facilities. I was wondering, how come? You know, in India, in my school and college days, having a telephone was like a big luxury. Is it not? Some of you must be remembering, there was a 10,000 waiting list, 12,000 waiting list for a phone. I think that time, the facility was not called MTNL, it was Bombay Telephones or BT or whatever. Then came this MTNL. So some people started jokingly calling it Mera Telephone Nahi Lagta. MTNL. Because India had typical those mechanical switching exchanges, those wires, miles and miles of wires in the telephone exchange building. Then you can safely predict if in your colony the electrical people have come and they are digging up something, you will find in the next 2 days the telephone will stop ringing. Why? Because while digging, these fellows will do some mess with them. They will come, try to repair the telephone lines, and they will wreck the water pipes. So all these municipal departments will see to it that the other department always gets some kind of work. Now with this kind of a infrastructure, how come now we have a situation where bhajiwalas and coolies and porters and everybody just is calling all the time? Who made this possible? Again, this is some hearsay information, but I think it is true. If you see the way things are going on, these giant businessmen, giant multinational corporations who have expensive satellites put up there, being utilized only 5%, 10%, 30%, 40% of their capacity, they come together and say, next 20 years we'll face a loss, no problem. The fittest among us will survive. Darwin's theory works for them very well. But we will see to it that everyone gets a mobile phone. It was Prabhupada Premanjali, our centennial program, 1996. I was sitting next to Bhima Prabhu and he got a call on his mobile phone. And imagine my awe, reverence, surprise at looking at him. And I said, what is this? It's a mobile phone. It was the size of, like this kind of a box. Practically. It was big. It was huge. It was unwieldy. And he said it costs 4 rupees to receive a call, 16 to make a call. Am I true? It was that costly. Now we have some MTNL, VSNL board saying half paisa per call or something. I said, beggars don't ask for less than a 5 rupees coin now. And how can this fellow ask for half paisa per something? So it's all notional. It's nothing is true here. But the point I'm trying to draw the attention is, when Vaishyas come together and they decide, we have to make something cheap, we may face a loss in the beginning, but in the end, when everybody starts buying our product, we can actually survive. There is nothing new in this. This is the age-old formula. If you let loose Vaishyas, they will manage to make profit. Srila Prabhupada talks of a merchant in Calcutta during the plague years. He convinced the British Municipal Corporation that in order to study this plague situation, you need to study rats, because that's where the problem lies, according to me. And he was selling one rat for 1 paisa. And he made a lot of money. Who is a Vaishya? Not somebody who wants to make a profit. Not somebody who is in love with money. Not somebody who has a name of Gupta, Bandal, Jandal, whatever. A Vaishya, as Prabhupada says, he makes money when the market goes up, he makes money when the market goes down. Am I correct? That's a Vaishya. So what's the situation when we don't have that kind of Vaishyas? You have Brahmanas who know theoretical Shastra. There is so much of theoretical information about what a cow contains and what are the problems with her, and like Prabhupada's formula, 1 acre land and a cow and a family will be happy. How do we make it possible? The challenge is not to be solved by Brahmanas. They won't be selling milk. It's very, very irregular. Kshatriyas won't like to, sell milk products. And Shudras, by their own dint of their inability, they can't be expected to run something. They are the assistants. Vaishyas are let loose under the supervision of Brahminical intelligence. Unless Vaishyas understand that I have to do this, it's for my benefit. Otherwise, on their own, they will suddenly make a profit and kill themselves. Like we see today, people are so angry that In some corporations, the difference between the salary taken by the top boss and the lowest paid worker is something like 250 times or 300 times. You might say, well, you know, I'm lucky, I have this money. No, you're not lucky, sir. The more money you have and more you keep it to yourself and there is no proper guidance, the rest of the population will become envious. Whoever you might be a dictator, you might be the CEO, you might be a boss. Anybody attracting a lot of, anybody having a lot of money and thinking that I'll just enjoy it myself, risks being brought out and had his, has his neck chopped off. As we see with politicians, whether they behave like, in one sense they are not Vaishya, they are just plain thieves, they are just looting everything. But one big challenge is that when you have, you see people making so much money, there is envy. Oh, why is he making so much money? So the Vedic way is that you allow people to make money, but then cultivate their Krishna consciousness so that they could be motivated on their own to support. Otherwise, without proper Vaishya community supporting cow protection, it's their job. Brahmanas are not told to support cow, to do cow protection. Kshatriyas are not supposed to do cow protection. Why only Vaishyas? Why Prabhupada quoting this 18.42? Vaishya karma swabhavajam. What is the cow protection a Vaishya can do? He doesn't know verses as to why cow is important. He doesn't have arms and ammunition. He doesn't have anything to protect the cows physically. And for milking the cows, he employs Sudras and others. So what's the cow protection he does? Notional. In his mind, he's convinced that I have to keep aside a certain amount of money and that has to go for Gopuja. No questions asked. Why do I say this? Because this particular sadhu, guru, maharaj, a particular brahmana, intelligent person, he has convinced me. And it's in my best interest. So we see here, 5,000 years ago, Kamsa, he was an irregular ruler. He had usurped power. But he never came and disturbed. Of course, later when Krishna was born, he started sending demons. But he didn't disturb Nanda Maharaja's main activity of continuing to have a large herd of cows, have cow products, sell them. Basically, selling is not the main thing, it's barter. So, the last point, in today's terms, this is from Jayadvait Maharaj. He said, just see this situation. The world is not dependent on grains anymore. In one way it is, but people think more money is in terms of cash, currency. So America was seen as, or is still the richest country in the world. So how did Americans purchase their oil? Well, you said they paid in dollars. And the dollar was a king. It was the world's currency. So Jayadev Maharaj is saying, no, it's not like that. You don't understand properly. America was buying oil for the last 47 years, practically after the Second World War, 52 years, for free. You say, hey, how can they cheat the world so royally? You give me your oil, which is a tangible product, I give you paper. Your oil is a natural resource, limited by nature. But the amount of currency I can print is unlimited. Imagine, I just have to keep on printing. He says, this is a lopsided thing. The sooner people realize this, and now any country when it wants to switch off from the dollar-based thing, they call it now regime change. It's a very fashionable word for just shooting the main boss and putting a puppet in his place. So, the old system where you actually call something wealth, which is given by the Shastra, which actually is edible if it is grains, edible if it is milk, or can be stored if it is gold, silver. I just came to the conclusion that what was called wealth, what was called opulence, is still the same, whether it is 5,000 years ago, 500,000 years ago, and will remain till the end of Kali Yuga. We might still cling to our plastic currencies or cash or whatever, but real wealth is still the same. Like right now with the credit crunch and banks collapsing, what are people saying? Save money in gold. Save money in land. Tomorrow they say save money in form of water. Water could be the next precious thing. Wars were fought for land. Wars were fought for skies. Wars will be fought for water. So, Prabhupada's strong words are true. It is a so-called civilization managed by crazy people, or the lunatics are running the asylum. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. We have 2 minutes for any comments or corrections. Don't ask a question, please. Sure.
I was, from last 2 years, I was thinking, why is it so that the cow's milk in the market is so traded at the high rate? Before 4 years back, at least 3 years back, the cow milk per liter was around something like 15 rupees, 15 to 17 rupees a liter. And from last 2 years, the cow milk is right now, good cow milk is been sold at around 45 to 50 rupees a liter. So I was always thinking that what is this, why is it so? So I used to always ask that dairy wala people that what is wrong? Why are you charging so much? I can understand that there is some recession, this, that, everything. So they used to always tell me that because the rainfall is less, the grass is not available, and due to that reason we are not able to provide sufficient grass to the cows, and that's why the cost of milk is increased. But recently, last year the rainfall was adequate in India. Hardly 2% rainfall is less in some of the parts of the country like West Bengal or some places. But everybody has accepted it, the rainfall is normal. Yet, the cow milk rate has not gone down. This is the peak time where the grass is available. This is the time where you get the greenest grass. Yet if you will observe it, the milk price has not gone down. So I again ask this dairy wala people, what is going on? They say, "Wo sab abhi ek bar bhav upar gaya, to upar hi rehta hai." So this is the mentality of the vaishyas. When they jack up the price and have seen the situation, they will take fullest advantage of the situation. Thank you, Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.